looking for?
8 o'clock.
Let me take a look and see if I've got any wiggle room tonight. Just a moment.
Okay. Actually, sorry. He's right here. He's right here.
Hey, this is Arnold. Listen, I will be in the area tonight around 8 o'clock, and we're looking to see if we got a table for three. I mean, if you can have any wiggle room, it would be absolutely fantastic.
Sure, we can put you down for 8 o'clock. You said for three?
Yes. Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon, right? Hasta la vista.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. I cannot wait. And I will say, if I get diarrhea at this restaurant, I will not be back. All right.
Yes, hello and welcome back to the Pop-Up with Paul and Friends, or welcome for the first time if this is your first episode. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to this one. You can go back and listen to episodes we had. You can subscribe and listen to episodes in the future. I'm just an interviewer who loves talking with people. And the cool thing about putting this show out is the universe has rewarded things back just by me doing the show. For example, my good buddy Jason Katz sounds like a guy I met, you know, showbiz guy. Hey, I got my guy Jason Katz. Hey, you know, there's a guy over here. My good buddy connected me with my guest today. And here's the thing about this guest. I've known of him and his work for years. He's an incredible voice actor. He does amazing impressions all over the internet. I had seen his work go viral, and I knew of his clips from the Vine days, from YouTube, from social media, but I never knew him personally. So what you just saw and heard is us pranking a really fancy restaurant in Los Angeles. That was a true, genuine prank. You're going to hear in a little bit. And then my buddy sees I'm doing a show, says, hey, I got a guy for your show, and you got a show for the guy, and a guy for the go, and a go for the girl, and a guy. Maybe not all that, but we were able to connect when he was in town, and I brought him over here to my garage, which is a studio, which looks like a living room, for an awesome chat. And here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one and only Joe Gaudette. Podcast hopping in LA. Look at you, man. You're fancy.
I feel good.
You feel good?
I feel good about it, yeah.
You know what's funny about you, which I didn't realize, because I know you from your voices like most of the internet. Your Boston voice, to me, comes out still, even when you talk.
All the time.
But have you been trying to... I've heard you say you try to refine that now because of acting and doing voice work.
when they say action, that I can lose it.
Yeah.
But I like... I don't feel phony, but like going back home to Boston, like I have family and like I grew up in Melrose, Mass, which is like 10 minutes north of Boston.
North, there it is.
But you get closer to the city, it gets thicker. I have friends, you know, my family's in Swampscott, Lynn. My parents are in Lynn. My brother is in Peabody. Peabody or Peabody, you know, it's like your accent goes in and out. When I'm home, it comes out. When I'm with my kids in Connecticut and my wife, I try to keep a neutral accent because I don't want my kids to have my accent.
That's so funny. My best friend has a house in New England, and he's from Jersey. And I keep telling him, I go, your kids are going to sound like Matt Damon.
Yeah. Ma, where are you? Like my son will make fun of me all the time. Dad, where'd you park the car, Dad? Because I'm like, where are my car keys? Where'd you guys park? Oh, where's the car? And I go, vehicle. So there's no R's in vehicle. So I'll just say, who's the vehicle?
I like the Boston accent, maybe because I'm from the Northeast. I feel like it's an endearing accent. I also feel like you can't mess with people from where you're from in a way.
No, people are really honest. I'm going to sound like a jerk for saying this. I dated most of the girls I dated, or every girl I ever dated before my wife, Boston accent. Relationships never ended well. I'm like, in your head, I'm like, I just can't stand the Boston accent on women.
Right.
And it's not a dig at any women from Boston, but my mother has a Boston accent. My sister has a Boston. I'm like, I want to get away from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I just, cause then it's Boston accent again, it's pretty hardcore when you're arguing with somebody with a Boston. I'm like, okay, relax. And my wife, neutral Connecticut accent.
Nice.
She's really educated. I feel like I have a high school diploma.
Right.
She's got all these degrees. I'm like, oh, this is going to work well.
I like that was the prerequisite. Once you start dating her, you're like, oh, there's no Boston accent. This could work.
That's exactly.
This might work.
She's Polish. Your family's from Poland. She speaks fluent Polish. I'm like, well, she speaks one more language than I do. I barely even know English.
That's funny. My wife's Polish and Italian. That's a mix. That's a mix right there.
That's a good mix.
Yeah.
Good food.
I love everything you do on the internet, man. I know you talk about it a lot, I'm sure. You're a professional voice actor.
Yeah.
One of the biggest voice impressionists online. And I feel like you've been doing it forever. Like when I've known of you, I haven't known you personally, but I've known of your work for so many years.
Yeah.
What was the first platform for you? Like, were you, because I feel like you've been doing
this. I want to say MySpace, but not like, it wasn't really performing. I did like sketches, like little stupid sketches. But then, then Vine became popular. And that's when I still had like a 9-to-5 job. And I was just doing, you had 6 seconds to be funny. So you really, really quick. And that took off. And then after that, it was, what was after Vine? Just kind of YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. You try to do that. And then TikTok, things really started to gain traction. Like social media wise, like I always had like an acting and a voice acting career, but not like people knew about me. But social media, it helps you know, get the word about your stuff. But I think TikTok really kind of like, okay, now you can get millions of followers on this. Now there's a lot of eyes on you. Now you can kind of keep doing the sketches and the.
It must be nice too, because you already had that core business, and then you're like, doing big on TikTok. It must kind of be
funnel.
A cycle, right?
It was almost like a funnel, because like I always think, okay. People are on the toilet watching these videos. Swipe. Oh, that's fun. You know, that gets you interested. Oh, let me click on this guy's website. Oh, he's a professional. He is a professional voice actor. Mm-hmm. And then that's happened. A lot of studios like Showtime is coming to me, Apple TV, you know, big clients, small clients. And they see that this guy, he does voices. He records a lot of his videos in his recording studio. What's his website? Oh, the link's in the bio. Let's go to that. Oh, he has his own studio. This is his agent's info. This is his contact information. How can I work with him? And then it's using that social media, all the impressions, all the funny stuff to just kind of get business. As selfish as it is, you got to have a plan. I can't just sit there and just do videos and try to rely on
that
for work.
You have the dream job, though. You're home. You work from home. You get to get the work come in. Do you have like 3 locks that the kids can't get in?
I do.
The studio?
No, like... they don't know that I change the password all the time. I get the big like security, like dee, 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 dee. It's only like 5 digits, but you can keep pushing and make it sound like something going like this to the kids, like, and they can get in. They can't get in unless I'm there, and it's great. The security cameras all over, so I spend so much money on the studio. I don't want anybody.
You have to, locked in.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your first voice acting job?
I think like the first bigger job that I got was on a show called PBS. Shout out to Evan Sussman and Dave Schlafman. They gave me like my first big break of like, it's a PBS show. They pitched it to PBS. It got picked up. And I was just like little bit characters on there. It was called Fizzy's Lunch Lab. And I was bit characters. I was a wrapping jar of peanut butter. I was this candy, piece of candy. And it taught kids about how to eat healthy and stuff. And then the lead guy, Larry Murphy, voiced Fizzy. He went on to do Bob's Burgers. He's Teddy in Bob's Burgers. Mm-hmm. And they knew that I could voice match. So I, did a bunch of auditions, and I voice matched the main character, and then I got the main character, and nobody knew they had recast it because I voiced, doubled. And that made me proud because I'm like, Larry Murphy did such a great job. I want to make sure I nail this. And then we got it. It was nominated for Emmys, and I was like, I was proud of all that stuff.
Damn.
And then one thing led to another. You realize, oh, I can get paid for this. This is a little bit step further where I want to go in my career. What else can I do? And then it came down to I have to, like, market myself.
Mm-hmm.
And not just go, oh, I hope work comes. So that's when I kind of started learning the business of how to get work.
Sure.
You know?
The voice matching thing is wild. I was just talking about this with Daryl Hammond about the idea of, like, you basically scientifically make the same sound, right? Like, you could put it on what's the device? I can't remember the name. Like, a sonar? Like, it's the same exact sound.
Yeah. Because and I noticed that I'll have like it's called a reference track. If anybody doesn't know who's in the industry, like if I need to listen to like, okay, I need to double Arnold for this. All right, I got to hear Arnold's voice.
I think that is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, you see him say that. Okay,
I think,
and you have to. I'm literally sitting there. How can I match the tone so that when I record, can I match up those wavelengths in the recording software? Does it match? Okay, now I have the tone. Now we have to do the performance. Then we have to do the cadence. So you become obsessive. And the only reason I become obsessive is because in those situations, if you're voice doubling, you need to get in there and get out without anybody knowing. If you did your job.
Right.
Well, you got to know that, okay, I just thought that was Arnold, or I thought this was Christian Bale or Ryan Reynolds or, whatever, whoever you voice
doubling. And have you done a lot of those that you can share? Do you sign NDAs and you can't tell me?
I've done a lot that I can't. I did double for Christian Bale for Batman. It was either The Dark Knight or Batman Begins slot machine games and all the casinos. He wasn't available. And I'm like, what do you mean he's not? He's doing a movie. And they were like, we'll pay you X amount. I'm like, well, it's like nothing.
You're going to voice match that.
And I'll do it. So it was like, player one, you're playing Batman Begins. And saying all this. And it's like, you're going like for 2 or 3 hour session, your voice is just getting red raw. I'm like, no, it's worth it because then I can use it as a resume builder and stuff like that. So that was fun.
But what does Batman sound like unclogging a toilet?
Bruce Wayne or Batman?
Batman.
It's a septic tank. You're not supposed to flush. Stop. He's getting this. Yeah, because I have septic. The only reason I say it. You can't flush those. People, if you have septic, do not flush those dude wipes down there.
Don't.
That stuff will get clogged, especially when it's raining like this in L.A., too. If you have do they have septic around here? Probably
I think so.
Maybe in the hills. Maybe.
I think they do. I can't do it.
They do.
I'm so inspired by what you do. I want to do impressions just by hanging out with you because, like, it's so cool. But it's such an art form. Like, voice matching is not something you can learn, I don't think. Like, you're
I think, I don't know. I think you can. A lot of – the thing is, it's not like impressions. Anybody can do impressions. The voice matching is – that's niche, and that's a tough thing. But anybody can, like, try to sound like, you know, a crappy version of something and have fun with it.
I saw that clip you did with Ryan Reynolds where you say you're under a lot of pressure.
That was fun.
Has that happened to you a lot where you get to kind of meet everybody?
No, and- the only – so, like, that – one I did with Ryan came for, we worked on a project. That was one I can't say what it was. It hasn't been released. And I have an inkling. I'm just going, maybe my performance was so bad with him, they're just not going to release. You know, then you get paranoid, like, maybe my confidence is, but who knows? Maybe they'll
release. Hey, man, don't get paranoid. The check clears.
You no, be and that's all I cared about. But, like, working with him, he was the coolest to work with. He was just laid back.
Yeah.
He was just cool. He's exactly who you think he is, but nicer. Wasn't a jerk to anybody on set. I would love to work with him again.
Cool.
But yeah, those TikTok videos were fun. We rapped and he's like, you want to do some like funny TikToks for my, I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
But then doing the deep fakes, people thought I deep faked
him.
And I'm like, no, that's Ryan. That's not, you know, that's not me deep faking something.
Cause you're here. Can you slip in a little Ryan Reynolds? Cause I love it.
Well, yeah. What do you say? I always say slap my ass and call me Betty White. That's like how I always get into Well, slap my ass and call me Betty White. Hmm? And then it's always the, What did you say?
That's so good.
For the deep Arnold fakes, they are fun to do because I get to go to my comedy partner, Brian Monarch. We can, like, he's like, well, what do you want to do? Well, let's do Arnold in, you know, Titanic. Let's do Arnold as Uncle Rico in Napoleon. And that's fun for me to do because then, okay, that would be fun. Because they're so realistic, we can go into them. And then put him in any scenario. But then if I go, all right, let's put so-and-so in something, he's like, but I it's not, because people think the deepfake stuff is just AI and it's instant.
Mm.
It's not. You literally have to take thousands and thousands of photos by yourself, find scenes from a movie, get it, put it in a data set, and thousands of every different angle of that and actor.
They morph
and
together.
And it takes about a week and a half for the computer just running all day, every day, to render that stuff. And then we can go into post-production and do the voiceover to that.
That the stuff you do with that is really like the future, though. Like, it's crazy. I know there's also the guy who does Tom Cruise on TikTok. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's incredible, too. What do you think about deep faking? Like, can you get perks of Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, can you become Arnold on the internet? Like,
there's a lot of legalities. I know Miles does. Yeah, I believe it's Miles Fisher. He does. He's the deep Tom Cruise. And Metaphysic, they all work together. Metaphysic AI is the deepfake company that they work with, which those guys are brilliant. And I think as long as it's parody, that's fine.
That's illegal.
Then you get into the legalities of, like, you know, you can't go, I could not make a deep fake and make it realistic and then post this on the internet for, like, you know, for financial gain or commercial purposes. Hi, this is Arnold, and I'm here to sell stogies. I mean, these stogies are fantastic, right? And if you don't buy them, I'll be back. And, like, you can't get away with that. if you do it as a parody and, like, you clearly say it's a deep fake, it's not, and you don't, you know, you're not trying to get any malicious stuff out of that, that's fine. But it's a slippery slope because
it's crazy.
Me and Brian and all those guys, we do it for entertainment.
Right.
We're not going to do it for, like, political or propaganda.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be used in the future. Somebody gets their hands on it, and especially with the AI voice stuff that you... But you need a huge data set of that voice. You can't just have me talking for, like, a minute and then build something off of that. It's hours upon hours.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people who do that, the deep AI stuff, Joe Rogan, they've done it for Joe Rogan a lot. And it's because he has so many hours upon hours of his podcast, they can make him say whatever.
Right.
You know, and hopefully people don't, you know, use that for malicious intent. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to – I'm not a mean-spirited person, but there is a lot of power that comes with the deepfake stuff. Like, if you wanted to, you could just – get Arnold canceled. You could
in a heartbeat.
You could easily just say the wrong thing.
But I wouldn't do it.
Saying it's crazy
because I've had I've called people that he knows and they think it's Arnold, and it's like that's fun. And then you let him in. Oh, that's just not Arnold. That's some idiot from Boston doing these you know, prank calls. But and like I take pride in that. But at the same time, like at the end of the day. I don't take it's a friggin' Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. Like I go, we're not curing cancer here.
Yeah, you're making fun videos, which is the way you should look at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think the technology is advancing in a way that is borderline trippy. Like that Tom Cruise guy for the first few clips, and yours as well. I'm like, this is the really them.
Unreal.
It's real. It seems real. How are you regionally? Because we're talking about Boston accents. Like, can you do a lot of America with your voice?
I mean, I can do like a neutral accent. I mean, if it's caricature, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, like you can do a southern accent and start talking like this, man. I'm like, but then you go, okay, I'm just going to do a crappy Sam Elliott. I'm going to do, you know,
what's up, dude? How you doing, dude?
Like, you can go into that. I'm okay. I'm pretty, just from doing commercial after commercial, you just have to have a neutral accent. You can, you know, sometimes they go, oh, we need a Boston accent. Oh, that's fine. I don't have to think. Uh-huh. I can, as long as I'm reading something phonetically, I can get around.
What would you say is the weirdest job? Like, has there been a regional or a character where you go, this is the weirdest challenge of a voice I've ever had to do?
There's been a weird job. I won't say the celebrity, but I was hired. And these people had a lot of pull, and I was like, I don't want to piss these people off because I did not want to mess with them. For some, I don't know how they got access to my bank account, but they found my bank account number, and they already gave me the money into that account. And it was a lot of money. And I couldn't turn it down. And I had to give a eulogy at a very famous person's funeral as this other celebrity because that celebrity just wasn't available or for whatever.
What?
It was very strange. This was years ago.
And not deepfake, just an audio.
Just my voice at a eulogy, memorial service.
What?
Talking about the kids he leaves behind and all. And I'm going, this is really weird.
Listen, the stereotypes you hear about Hollywood, that just is, it's all true. Like, I'm sorry, I'm on a movie. I can't make the funeral.
But my kids got to play a lot of sports in summer camps that summer because I was like, well, we need the money.
That's so funny. That's a good answer for the weirdest job.
It was very
strange.
That's
trippy.
I went, okay, I can't turn. Okay.
It's also like that celebrity wanting to show face, I guess, or show voice.
And that was very strange. And that was a voice nobody knows I do. So this is, I won't say.
And here it is for the first time anywhere.
We're going to get so many comments. It was me. It was, no, it wasn't.
So you
it was
start,
Betty White. No, I was just, it wasn't Betty.
That'd be amazing. Do you do women?
No, I in post-production we can. Like there's a lot of tricks. I used to do like a crappy Betty White, but it was just like a high, you know, still, oh, hello, it's me, buddy. You know, but it's crappy. Yeah. But I learned that if I do, and it's such a, it's so random, but David Archuleta. Do you know Dave?
American Idol, right?
Yeah. Hi, this is David Archuleta. Gosh, if I started talking like this. So I get rid of all the bass and the timbre in my voice. If you pitch it up in post-production, it sounds very feminine. So we've gotten away with that for animated series and stuff. And like you have to do a female just because nobody's available. And frankly, a lot of productions want to save money. They don't want to hire multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
So you do three voices for this project and like we don't have to pay you anymore. You're scheduled to do two voices. Can you do a third voice female? I'm like, all right. And then you figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's like the only like close to I've gotten doing like female voices.
That's crazy. Why don't we make you female just for the next answer with that voice? I'll pitch it up in post.
Okay.
So how is the? I know it's raining here. How was your day getting over here?
Well, you know, it's very rainy. Flash flood warnings until 10 p.m. tomorrow or tonight. Still on East Coast time. I saw a branch on the road. I swerved around it and then I parked across from the studio. So better watch out when I leave here because I have insurance on the rental, but I don't think they're going to cover Mother Nature.
I'm attracted. Attracted, and we're gonna pitch it up. It's gonna sound amazing.
I can't wait to hear what that sounds like.
It's for me. I'm not an impressionist. I'm not a good voice guy, but I like goofily with stand up, do things here and there.
Yeah.
And I find I need phrases to kick in.
Yeah.
To, like, if I say for fuck's sake, I could do 10 seconds of Irish.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I'd have Irish in.
And you get that phrase.
Without saying that, I can't get into it.
I'm the same way with a lot of like Arnold. If I haven't done it in a long time, I need to listen to clips, and I go, well, first of all. Hey, we listen first of all, and then that gets into Michael J. Fox. I always go into like, wait a second, Doc. No. Like, and you go into that, and then I go, okay, he's up here. No, it's fine, great. And then you got to hold that vocal fry in the bit. So there's a lot of stuff you go in. Ryan Reynolds is slap my ass and call me Betty White. Ice-T is, yo, what up, man? Yo, what up, man? How's it going? You know, I go into that. Yeah, there's a lot of phrases I have to do. And you don't think about it, but now that you ask it, you go, oh, yeah.
It's little tricks. I know. I find that, too.
It's fun to watch other people do impressions. And it's like, it's sometimes easier, or you'll see a lot of people. They might have a large following, and you're going, well, that's cool, but they're just doing an impression of somebody else's impression.
Yep.
Like, everybody who grew up on SNL would probably do Dana Carvey's impression of whoever they're doing,
right.
Like Daryl Hammond's impression of anybody. Like, you have those, like, those just icons in that world of voices and impressions. You find a lot of people do impressions of somebody else doing an impression.
I feel like it's what happened with Trump. Like, Trump started getting impersonated so much, and then eventually it was like people were doing him as an impression of him.
Yep.
Also in culture, we remember, I said this to Daryl, we remember the impressions more sometimes than the person. They stick more.
Yeah.
And he was explaining, which I think is interesting with comedy, it's a caricature when it's comedic, and it sticks more because of the comedy. It's like a cartoon version of the real person.
And that's when it's fun, when you see it on, like, the voice is cool, but if you don't have material behind it,
right, exactly.
I would much rather have, you know, a 5 out of 10 voice and just hilarious comedy.
Yeah.
And writing, because that's what makes it, unless you have to voice match. And that's why it's, like, tough for me, why I don't go after a ton of voices, because I'm like, if it can't be a 10 out of 10, I'm not going
to
do
it. Well, you sort of do both. You get to work professionally and do the voice matching, right. Do the comedy videos.
Yeah.
Do you get on stage ever?
I used to do open mics back in the day, but it was, like, right at the time my voice over career was, like, really taking off. And then I heard something Rogan said on our podcast, and he had mentioned that, like, if you're not going to go full on with something, especially stand-up comedy, there's so many people who want to get into this. And if you're taking stage time and not really... And I was like, wow, because I had done that years before I heard him. And I was like, okay, so my gut told me the right thing. I didn't want to take stage time away from people who really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always went up and I dicked around doing just impressions. I always went up as this, like, personal assistant to the stars. They had, like, a fake name.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go in, and then it was just easier. You know, I used to work for Arnold, and we were on set one day, and Arnold comes over to me and says,
hey, listen, Craig, let me ask you something, all right? I want to smoke a stogie. And then you could go into it.
Right.
And to me, it was just like it felt hacky to me, because I was using, like, a high-pitched voice to go into a low-pitched voice. So something totally different from the impression I was going to do. And then it was almost like an audio magic trick. And I felt hacky. And my material, it wasn't good. I used to do bits on Ice-T as Doc Brown and stupid, like, you know, and I used to do, like, a Bill Paxton from Twister 2.
Nice.
And it was just like, it was very hacky, and I'm just like, then voiceover took off, and I just said, all right, I want to go all in on this.
Sure.
And well, not juggle a bunch of stuff.
It's funny in the business side of it too, because, like, it's great to have a day job if you're doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's great to be making a living, so you made the right move. I would argue, though, if you went back up as yourself and did your voices, you would do great.
It would be fun, but I don't know, man. And it's not an ego thing, but, like, I really struggle, especially on social media. I struggle to be taken seriously. But at the end of the day, I always do have to remember, most people who watch anybody's content online, especially comedy, they're on the toilet. They're sitting next to their husband or wife and just scrolling. And they just want eye candy and ear candy. I get that. And then I'll do the occasional, like, hey, here's a commercial I voice. And then you notice, like, nobody comments on that.
Yes.
But then you can't get in your head, because I don't do it for views. But you have an idea. You think it's going to blow up.
Yeah.
Nobody likes it. No. Or you do something. Like, we did something. It was the deepfake thing. We put, the Arnold on Uncle Rico. I did it in 5 minutes. I did the voiceover, and I just sent it to my buddy Brian, and then he posted it after it got rendered. And it blew up.
Mm.
And we never thought that was good. See, you don't know. But I just don't have the time to do stand-up. I love it. I went to the Improv last night and watched that.
Oh, nice.
It was great. And, like, I'm a fan of just calm. I love watching people and laughing. And then seeing their, you know, everybody on that lineup last night was so different.
Yeah.
So different backgrounds, different genders, and they were all funny. And that's what I like most about stand-up is it doesn't matter who you are. If you're genuine and you're telling your truth, it's funny. And everybody's there to laugh. Nobody's there to judge like it's a book report.
Right.
You're doing
it's the
best. Class.
Yeah, it's
you
the
know?
Best.
And that's
when
what I love
good.
Most about stand-up.
Like, yeah. Well, Boston's a great comedy town, too. I feel like I love Boston comics, and also just, like, the blue-collar nature of Boston, I think, makes you a better comedian, because making people in Boston laugh is not easy,
it's, no,
I feel
it's,
like.
It's hard.
And so that's a good comedy town.
But you also, like, that's why you like, you see people like Bill Burr, like, he just, he grew up, you know, I'm pretty sure he grew up in Quincy, Mass. He grew up, I mean, he grew up in the Boston area.
Yeah.
But you have to be on your toes 24/7. You're waiting in line, somebody's taking too long to order, there's a quick remark, and you turn around, like, you gotta be quick, especially if you got, you know, brothers and sisters, or you're the young. I was the young, I mean, I had an identical twin brother, so, but I was 2 minutes younger than him, but I was still was the baby of the family. So you always gotta think, all right, I gotta be quick on my toes. I gotta be quick. That's the only way you can survive in the, especially the Northeast.
Yes.
You gotta be quick.
I always think about this, about how that kind of makes how you survive, how you operate as a person.
Yeah.
I'm fairly new to Hollywood, and like I'm like yelling at people at the deli here, like, get out of my way, because I'm where I'm from. It is a product of where we're from in a way.
It is.
You become this kind of, I don't know if it's animalistic, but there's something about like survival mode.
And you're not, I don't even think you're doing it to be like mean. You're just, this is what I'm used to. You have to, like driving here, I'm just like, get the out of the way. Like,
yeah.
But I think it's everywhere you go. It's not an East Coast versus West Coast thing, but it's more on the East Coast that you just, people aren't walking around angry. They're just walking around. They got somewhere to go.
Yeah,
they
we got things to do.
Right.
Yeah. It is definitely more laid back here in a funny way. You haven't really been to L.A. much either, right?
It's the second time I've ever been.
So I'm honored you're here hanging.
Well, I'm happy to be
cool.
Here. I genuinely want to meet people like you.
Yeah.
And it's because then you get to learn more about stuff. And yeah, you'll make connections. But it is, it's fun to just meet new people and just, because it's just boring if you're doing the same stuff over and over.
Yeah.
Like I literally just sit in my recording studio by myself. I don't talk to anybody face to face. So this is the first time in a long time where I'm like, I'm talking to somebody. It's a human. I can reach out and I could inappropriately touch you if I wanted to.
Only if you do it as Arnold and a deepfake and we could post it.
Hey. Listen, Paul, bend over. The recliner, it reclines very nice leather. I cannot tell where the leather ends and you begin. So I will absolutely do that.
Verbatim what he said to his nanny. do you, like, is it pop up sometimes in the world or like with your family?
Did I hear myself?
Yeah, were you on at the Super Bowl or anything crazy
recently?
No,
I did a Super Bowl spot last year.
Okay.
It was like the first Super Bowl spot in the metaverse. It was for Miller
nice. Lite.
That was so much fun to voice. I got to voice, you know, the main guy in the thing, and then I got to voice like this Norwalk, that's fine, Boston accent, Norwalk coming
Norwalk.
Up.
Norwalk.
Jumping over this river, and it was just me. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good collaboration, but I hear myself on the radio all the time, and it's not a brag. It's just, I just working so often that I go, it's not like, and I feel really crappy for saying this, but it's like, I don't get excited about it anymore because I hear it all the time.
Yeah, it's like, well,
you're
used to it.
But when my kids hear it, I get really proud. Dad! And I'm like, what happened? What happened? I come running upstairs. What's the matter? What's the matter? No, you're on the radio. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, pause. And they pause it and they play it back. I'm like, that is me. And then I can see how happy they are. That makes me happy.
Yeah,
I don't
care
about hearing myself because I hear it when I record it.
Yeah, of course.
It's like the same thing with the video games. I do a lot of the voice, not a lot of the voice, I do a lot of voices in the Five Nights at Freddy's games. And people know me from that. And they're like, what was it like this? And I'll go to Comic Cons and they're asking me questions. And I feel so bad. I go, guys, I've never played the games. I feel like Denzel. I don't watch my own movies.
Right,
like,
right.
It's not because I don't like it. It's just I'm so busy.
Yeah, you're doing
I'm
your
also
thing.
A dad. I'm running my own, you know, recording studio and voiceover business. I just don't have the time. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
I love the fans. I love meeting fans at Comic Cons. They come up. And then the parents who have no idea who I am. And I'm totally okay with that because I get to see the kids who are excited to meet either me or whoever voices the other stuff. And I always talk to the parents. I'm like, you might not get it, but your kids see that you don't get it, but you're here supporting them. That's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because
it's like, I don't get what my kid likes, but I support what they like, and that's all. That's my favorite thing to see. It's by far my favorite.
That's also a great audience. Like the Comic-Con video game world, it's the best fans in the world, I feel like.
Easily.
They're just great people, passionate.
Easily. Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Two. Six and eight.
Nice.
William's 8. Audrey's 6. She's turned 6 on Valentine's Day, so that's a good birthday. It's an easy birthday.
Yeah, it's easy.
Easy birthday.
I feel like in the creative world, too, it's good. I relate to the dad stuff, too. It's fun. Like, you know, I do stand-up, but at the end of the day, if my daughter's crying laughing at some joke I said, like, there's pretty gratifying, too, besides some dude in the front row judging me.
Because you're never funny to your kids, real. It's like, you know, like, oh, funny, okay, dad, whatever.
Yeah. I'm about to get there. She's 5, my oldest, so she's about to be like, come on, dad.
Is she kind of sassy, like funny sassy?
Yeah.
Does she have your humor?
Yeah. She's pretty goofy. Perfect. But she also is already like embarrassed by me. Like I'm already embarrassing her. It's like, Dad, stop. Like what?
Or like my kids are, I go in and read to the kids every now. And that's the only place I get nervous. I don't get nervous on stage or like on set or in a record. I always get nervous before, but my hands are shaking when I'm reading books to the kids because maybe I care what they think, or like, you know, that's the only odd, and I'm sitting there scared and shaking. And then after one of my son's friends comes up, do you voice the puppet master in the Prodigy math game? Yeah. How'd you know that? Will told me, my son. He goes, my son, he told me. I go, okay. And then one kid, I don't believe you. And I'm like, I'm not doing the voice for you right now, dude. So I do it. He goes, nah, man, sounds nothing like it. I'm like, well, it is literally me. I'm like, I'm trying to prove something to an 8-year-old.
It's you can't.
Like,
yeah.
You cannot impress anybody. Yeah, yeah, no.
Which is good. It's a good barometer. Yeah. Kids will humble you.
Oh, dude.
It's you need it.
Humble pie is the best dessert around those kids.
Yeah, I don't always willingly like eating it, but I'm forced to every day. Yeah. I also have only girls. I'm outnumbered by women. It's That's a part okay. of it, too.
Two? Three?
Two girls and a wife who's also a woman. So,
so I don't know. I mean, it's 2020.
You're right. I didn't want to assume. I do want to do a voice thing with you. Yeah, if you're up for it.
Whatever you want.
But I'm an old school radio fan. I'm an old school prank fan.
Yep.
I feel like you probably pranked a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it's Hollywood and it's so fancy here.
Yep.
I was going to ask you if we could call one of the hardest restaurants to get into.
You want Arnold to get you in?
Ooh.
That's fine. See, you're his personal assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for calling. This is Kristen. How may I
assist you? Hey, Kristen. How are you? I have a very VIP. My boss is looking for a table tonight.
I'm sorry. You said your boss was looking for a table tonight?
Yes. For three?
Okay. Let me take a look and see if I've got any wiggle room tonight. Just a moment.
Okay. They're checking to see if there's any wiggle room.
All right. Sounds great.
Yeah, I'll be. It should be a second. Stop. I'm on the phone now with them. Actually, sorry. He's right here. He's right here.
Hey, this is Arnold. Listen, I will be in the area tonight around 8 o'clock, and we're looking to see if we got the table for three. I mean, if you can have any wiggle room, it would be absolutely fantastic.
Sure. We can put you down for 8 o'clock. You said for three?
Yes, me, my son, and his girlfriend. I think it would be absolutely fantastic. If you could use a pseudonym, I don't want anybody that I'll be in the restaurant. You know, you get in the paparazzi all over here. Yeah.
Absolutely. What name would you like me to use?
I think we should use Ari, A-R-I, Schwartz. I mean, they will not know.
All right. You are all set, then. We'll see you tonight at 8.
Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon, right? Hasta la vista.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. I cannot wait. And I will say, if I get diarrhea at this restaurant, I will not be back. All right?
Dude, that was incredible. Let me tell you something about Hollywood, by the way. This is exactly what happens with celebrities. Within a second, let me put you on a brief hold. Holy shit, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And whatever you want.
That may or may not be the first time that they've done that. I mean, should we call back and say, listen, Arnold's got diarrhea. I cannot come.
We should call back. You want to call back? I'll definitely be nice about it. You mean later? Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I have a soul. We'll definitely call them and tell them. But I also, this is what I mean about the power of your voice. Like you just heard firsthand what A-list
I
gets
felt
you.
Back because she was like, I don't know if we have any wiggle. Just hey, I would like a tape. And as soon as she heard that, like,
you heard her shift, and then also she nervously laughed when you said hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista. I see you soon. Okay.
This is what's great about your voice is like. This woman's gonna. I almost don't want to call back. Oh, I can, but I want her to have the story of like, Arnold. I believe he says hasta la vista.
And I feel because I've done that. I shut down. Excuse me, as I burp up the second round of Cheesecake Factory. they better send me money for this. It'd be good. I shut down the Gucci store in Boston because Ice-T was shooting Law and Order. He wasn't. It was me calling up. But like, and they shut down the whole store. I called back an hour later saying schedules have changed because in my head I went. What if they closed the whole store and somebody who had the day off went into the store to visit? What if they got into a car crash?
You don't want to carry it.
I think that's when I first had my panic attack, my first panic attack ever. I'm going, oh, what if? And I called back and, you know,
But prank call, like, it's fun to do here. Like, I almost don't feel as bad because, like, you do get such special treatment here for being a celebrity versus any other city in the world that I think they deserve a little bit of this. Like, they deserve it in a way.
Well, the stuff we've been doing these past couple of days, I can't say what it is, but you hear a lot of people go, don't even care.
Yeah.
Or don't believe you and just hang up.
It reminds me of growing up, too. Like, there's something, and this is why I love voices in comedy. There's something about that, like, rebellion a little bit that we should never lose as dads.
You can't, I mean, it's like, I remember I used to do them by myself. I didn't even record them, like, back in the day. And then, like, a few years ago when I started doing fun stuff, because it's like, how many videos you see, like, guy does impressions at the drive-thru, and I'm like, I always, like, cringe and roll my eyes because it's like, I never do it. I did it once. And then it was Arnold at Taco Bell.
Hi, it's been quite some time since I've had diarrhea, and I thought I'd eat here. And like, and you just keep on going. And it got like a ton of views. But it's like, I get bored with that. But when there's other people around and you're making your buddies, it's way funnier.
It's the best.
Like seeing you, I'm like, that was fun.
That lit me up, man. It reminded me of being 17. Like that's what I used to do with my buddies, but poorly. You did it. You do the voice right. Have you met him?
Never met him. He is aware of me just because he's had a sign off on stuff. I was Otev on Big Brother for a season, and they wanted it was a Jack Jellyfish, and they wanted him to sound like Arnold. And I was like, let's do Arnold over the top and regular Arnold. And then the legal goes, all right, let's do that and send it to him. And him and his team listened to it. And I guess this is what they tell me. And I always visualize him saying this.
Listen, Joe can do the voice, but no catchphrases.
So I was like, okay, and that production that crew is amazing. They know their stuff. It's a lot of fun.
That's what's unique about what you do, though, is like he definitely knows you. I do feel like you'll eventually meet, and then you'll have to do a video with him or something.
Which would be fun, but like, I've only ever taken a photo with one celebrity in my life, and I got to work and meet some, Danny Trejo. Like, and they asked if I wanted to take, I was like, yeah, I'll take one. I was eating lunch with him. And it's just like, I don't get starstruck. I don't know if I'd want, I'll just put it this way. I wouldn't bring it up. Arnold, let me do your voice to you. Because how many times, like, if they wanted me to, I would. But I just was like, I wouldn't go out of my way to do the voice to him.
If he knew who you were, though, I feel like flattery.
That would be like, I could die happy. Go, yeah, but dude, let's recreate something.
Yes,
funny.
But the voice matching, it's trippy. Like, just hearing you do it, it's like, it sounds like I'm talking. Like, it's really.
Which is great, because I'm like 5'9", 165 pounds, but I can pretend like I'm his size. And I'm like, this is good.
We're going to dinner tonight. We're going to dinner with Arnold. It's me, you, and Arnold. We're going to go get the real guy.
I was like, oh, crap. We have to show up. Quick, just give me some makeup.
Dude, that'd be awesome. We should actually
just show up and I'll just talk like that. Just me and go, yes, I am here. And they go, wait a second. I've lost a lot of weight.
Well, wait. What if we do like a weird mask? We could pull this off. We do like a weird mask thing and we get you like a body, like a muscular
body suit.
No, we're
just going to get Reese's peanut butter cup wrappers. Just put a gap between my teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
It is me.
It's me.
I am here. Yeah. Just walking with a stogie. Is this smoking?
I don't know. Kanye wears like all you ever see, wears like the face covering things.
We could do that.
You could be like, we could get a big guy and just be like, I'm Arnold now. I don't want to.
Still COVID, mask inside.
Also love that you said Ari. Would you say Ari Schwartz?
Ari Schwartz.
Nobody will know.
That's the alias we've been using for some stuff. So
that's amazing. I'm like, because I host like videos during the day for my job.
Yeah.
That the one goal with the show is like, I just want to have combos. I don't even.
Well, so watching all your stuff is so much fun. Like all the celebrities you just hang with.
Oh, thanks,
like,
dude.
Hey, dude, it's laid back. And I think what you do, it makes them feel at ease.
Thank
you.
You're
just talking to a buddy, not just another press junket. Like, how many questions you get asked?
Oh,
like,
dude.
That separates you. Because I've been watching this. So I'm like, you should make it easy.
Thank you. This is the long form of what I do.
Yeah.
But I still do junkets for NBC and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go into those rooms and I'm just like, I got 5 minutes. Like, what's up? Like,
and I'm sure they appreciate it because they just literally, what was it like prepping for this role? You guys worked together in this previous movie. And
who cares?
Literally just heard that.
Yeah, but you know, actors are weird sometimes where like, I do get people who you should take acting seriously, but I'm a goofball.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, I love Pierce Brosnan and the other, like recently when I interviewed him, like I was just being an idiot. I was like, said some question about like, what a fun cast. Like, you guys must bro out. Or some dumb question.
Yeah.
And he was like, these are roles. These are very serious. I'm like, dude, you're in Black Adam. I'm like, you're not.
Was it Fireside? Wow, that was like one of my favorite movies.
Dude,
it was great.
He's awesome. It's just like that. Sometimes it will backfire and I don't show that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I ended up editing that clip to make
these
it look like he
roles.
Liked me. Like, I put a smile in it for my social. Because he was just like, no. I'm like, you're wearing a cape, dude.
You're like, dude, seriously, how many takes did it take to chuck that lime at the back of Mrs. Doubtfire's head. And you're like, these are rolls.
Are you really allergic to seafood? Everyone, you choked on that. I remember that. Are you really allergic or...
This was is that serious. Really your Mercedes?
This is serious. I think I pissed him off. As I said, he was like my dad fashion icon. Like, way you dress with your kids, how I want to be in jeans. You know,
I don't know if that would piss me off.
Could have been like, an English thing, man. I don't
know. Maybe. Back in his day.
God, gorgeous.
I don't know if I could get through all that with all the hair, though. I'd have to, like, weed whack it or something.
Well, you're talking to a guy who's covered right now, but I'm a poor man's Robin Williams. In the hair department, yeah. My dad looks like a gorilla, actually.
Does he really?
Yeah. I'm lucky because I'm a little bit thinner than him in terms of hair.
Yeah.
But anyway.
There you go.
You know, I paint my hair on, too, for television. All right, now you're really getting to know me.
Do you really?
Yeah, I have to.
Why?
In the front.
Where?
Just here.
No.
Dude, there's lights. I'm on camera a lot. You know, this is the journey of a white man in Hollywood.
No way.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's fibers? Like, it's root concealer.
Shut up.
It's great.
What?
One day I'm going to get like peacock surgery in LA.
I couldn't even. I was just like.
Big. I'm going to get big peacock surgery.
When we wrap, I'm going to have to look and go, I'm taking foot. I can't.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, it's raining and I'm insecure about it. I'm like one rain puddle away from being Rudy Giuliani. Dude, that's a legitimate fear of mine. Like,
really?
Losing my hair. And I think my
wife. I was losing mine bad and I just started taking the medication. Shit grew back.
What are you taking?
Just Keeps.
What?
Keeps is it's a finasteride.
Are they paying for this?
No, they're not. Finasteride, just one pill.
What is that?
It's to regrow your hair.
Finasticide?
Finasteride.
Sounds like something to grow my grass.
Finasteride. Yeah, it's right next to the Roundup. That way when you get cancer, you can just sue Bayer because they own that hair.
Exactly. It's all
No, I was losing it back because my identical twin brother, he died a little over a year ago.
That's right. Sorry
we had
for
the
that.
Same hairline, but his was... he had like the horseshoe and like I started just all my
you
stuff
look great dude.
I always had a big forehead but like dude was
but that's a good hairline right
it
there
was
dude.
Going it was going back so bad
whoa
and then it just started one pill a day junk still works I've had no side effects I will say when I first started taking it I was in my old studio I had a wooden stool that I sat on.
What?
And your ass would fall asleep.
Yeah,
like because you know I'd be in the booth and I'd sit there and edit. My ass fell asleep and my balls and just all my junk fell asleep. And I thought it was a side effect of the and I literally went, I'm fucking dying. So I text my wife. I go, Anya. And I was crying. I go,
yeah.
I can't win. What is going on? Like, she's like, what are you talking about? I can't feel my dick. Like, and she's like, I was like, I think it's doing something to it. I'm like, we have two kids and that's fine. I'm glad. Yeah. And then she's like, wait a second. Like, and then I started like, try to go pee. Everything started getting pins and needles. I'm like, you asshole. Oh. I fell asleep. Like when you're on the toilet and then you get up, you're like, huh. And then I just try to lift one leg and just wait for the pain to go away. Like I couldn't.
I never knew that could fall asleep. That's good to know that it could be that if I ever have an issue.
You're on the wooden stool. So like your ass cheeks have fallen. But then like everything's resting on there and I go. Oh, and I'm like, you're going to pee. And I'm like, I can't feel the tip. I can't feel the tip.
That's scary. We're touching on my two fears, though. Like, from like when I was younger, my two fears in life were always I was going to lose my hair and I would be infertile.
Okay.
Now I have two kids and I'm thinning. So one of them's fine.
I can't, like, what do you, like, so if
I'm not
you
looking
could,
for compliments.
If you got out of the shower, it would be bad?
It's not that it's bad.
Or
it's
just paranoid.
That it looks like if you've ever been to Puerto Rico and you've seen those dogs with mange.
My dogs are from Puerto Rico, and they had me, and they were just totally, I got Sato.
What so an odd like, specific to nail with you.
And literally, my dogs, they had mange, and then, I'm like, Paul, dude, you can literally just, my dog's name is Paul. For, no, it's no, not.
That'd be crazy. That's how I feel like, it's not patchy, but it's like got, you get, it looks like you'd use a little Miracle-Gro a little bit in there. Like, it's a little bit thinner strand.
Is it a pen or is it a powder? Is it a?
It's a spray. My scalp is as black as the night.
Okay.
Black Adam scalp. But, you know, I got to start talking about this more because, you know, the thing about comedy and podcasts, you got to be vulnerable.
Dude.
But this doesn't work on stage because, to your point, if you talk about insecurity and no one sees it, no one's going to believe.
Right.
Like, I see a kid who just.
Well, you could say, I sprayed stuff in my hair.
Yeah, I got to start talking about it like that.
Take an eyebrow transplant.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Eugene Levy eyebrows and just, you know.
I'm going to go to Hollywood and get a surgery. It's from my ass to my scalp. It's going to be great.
I was contemplating surgery when it was bad, and I went, I don't think I'd do it, though.
You're selling it, though. But the thing about pills and pharmaceuticals is it freaks. Like, I don't take anything.
I don't. That's the only thing I take. That's
so that's interesting.
Thing.
I'm going to look this up.
I mean, I've had no side effects. Wild. It was a prostate medication. And then that can't hurt now anyway. Was hair growth.
That's interesting.
So I started taking it. It's $75 every 3 months.
Wow.
It gets shipped to your house. It's $25 a month.
We don't have a sponsor for the podcast, but they should sponsor you on your TikTok, and then you can send them to my address.
I would gladly do it. It was a game changer.
That's crazy.
Like, I never really cared about my appearance, but like, it was like my identical twin brother is like losing his hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to look like him.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, you miss him and you go, I'd take that back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but like, at the same time, it's just like, no, man, I own it. I'm like, I'm not, because my cousin's like at my brother's funeral. My cousin goes, "Did you get plugs?" I went, "Jimmy, what are you talking about?" "Yeah, you got plugs, didn't you?" I go, "No." He goes, "Why does your hair look different?" "I just started taking medication." He goes, "Get out of it." I go, "Dude, started taking." He goes, "I might start doing that too. It looks good." So it's like, it's, you know, starts to work. You're like, oh, yeah.
You say you never care, but for men, it doesn't matter what you do for a living. It's a phase of life that I think starts to dwindle. Like I said this before. You either go Jason Statham or Jason Alexander. So two options. I'm going to let myself go and eat and drink, or I'm going to go to the gym.
The Statham is good because I'm lucky. Like, when I buzz my head, I get a perfect shaped dome. Nice. So it's like I could do it. But then it's like I do feel like dudes who are bald look better with scruff on their face.
You have to.
It just looks cool.
What if you can't grow it, like you're a Polish guy or something?
Yeah, then you're like...
My buddy's Albanian. He can't grow a single hair on his face.
Really?
Yeah. It sounds like your career goal was like, you know, making a obviously supporting your family, but then making like a really great home studio.
Yeah.
Mine is getting really good hair surgery.
And that's it?
That's it. Like, I want to get a big enough gig in Hollywood
that you can
just do like $50,000 on my head.
You can go to Turkey. Turkey's got... I had a buddy who came back from Turkey, and he had a perfect transplant.
Really?
Like,
sounds sketch.
I didn't see him for a long time. I go, "Dude, what the?" And he showed me. You can't tell it's a transplant. I got another buddy who has like the hair system. I never knew until we went over his house, and he's like, I go, "What the hell? What is?" He goes, "Dude, I've had a system." I go, "What do you mean a system? It's like a toothpick, but you can see scalp through it."
Oh,
I don't
no,
get
no,
it.
No,
it's
no,
amazing.
No.
I have it a looks guy so
was,
real.
I have a buddy I knew as a toupee who I guess it might have been surgically sewn onto his head, and it looks
bad.
Exactly how it sounds. It looks
bad,
like a fake hair, like because the line is so good. It's like right above. It's, in my mind, it's like right above his eyebrow.
Oh, so yeah,
it's
can't
like
be that.
So
can't
pronounced.
Be that.
Like, I'm like, dude,
you
what
gotta
is
have
going
a little bit of the
here?
Widow's peak. But like, he's pulling on it. And I'm going, I don't see where it starts, and then he starts taking this like it's almost like a long. Almost like a fro pick. Like,
yeah.
But it's just one. And he starts pulling up the hairline. I go, "Get out of here."
Yeah.
It is like.
You're also borrowing trouble doing a party trick with that. Like, if you're like, "Look, you know, like, it's going to come off."
Well, there's a dude, there's a video. He's on a date and he takes his sweatshirt off and it comes off from the back and he can't tell. And she's like, "Jesus Christ." It's funny.
You're making me think of, I did interview John Travolta a few years ago, and we were backstage at an event. I was interviewing people, and the guy's hair was clearly fake, but like he looked cool too.
Yeah, he pulled like he was one of those guys. I'm glad he just buzzes it now. He looks so good.
But he everyone knew it was fake,
and
it was still fine. So that's also my goal. It's like I might go fake, and people go, "Look at that fake toupee."
But at the end of the day, you gotta go. Like, if I was in that position and I could do that, you can't. Like, when I was young, you used to make fun of people. Then you get older, you go, "Nah, man, he feels good about it.
You're doing you. Yeah, you do
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you weed out the, as you get older, perspective shifts, being a parent, right? You don't need to make fun of, I like making light of people, but.
Yeah.
You don't
ever
have to
since I've
put
had
them
kids,
down.
It forces me to go, all right, what can I say in front of them? What can I say?
Yeah.
You know, so.
I got to be careful, like, doing comedy so much, because I'll get home and I'll feel hot, and I'll be like hot takes with the world in front of my daughter, and my wife's like, "You're not on stage, stop." Because I'm like saying crazy. I'm not political in stand-up, but like I will still say dumb things.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there's a fear that she'll learn that like that's the opinion of life. I guess it's a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to be able to say what you want and be funny and not like, because I always tell kids, if you hear me swear, you hear me, don't repeat what I, and then of course I'm in the other room and I hear my son, "Audrey, shut the F up." And I went.
It's awesome.
I just went right into the limo and I just pointed upstairs. I go, "I'll come get you. I'll talk to you." And I go, "Dude, you can't say that to your sister."
Are you able to turn on dad mode like that when you have to?
Yeah,
like you're stern?
Well, you ask my wife. I'm I say it once nice. I say it a second time, nice-ish. Third time, it's nuclear.
Nice.
I lose my hand. And then, but it's like, but I'm like, I've gotten a lot better in the past couple of years. Like, I have a lot more patience. I'm at the point where I'm just talking to my kids and going, listen, I want to be around as long as I can. You guys got to work with me. I love you to death, but you got to, like, if we're asking you to do something, please just do it. I don't, you know, and then you kind of, and then it's all, it's helped me a lot. Kneel down and get on their level.
Yeah, and be.
It has helped me. Because, like, when I get down on their level, I'm talking to their face. I'm not just talking in their direction. And that has helped me so much.
It's also our generation. I feel like we're probably similar ages, but, like, there's such conscious. There's a lot of good stuff to that as well. Like, being emotional. Letting their emotions be validated. All this stuff, right? But I didn't grow up like that in the 90s, 80s, 90s. You know what I mean?
Never wore seatbelts in the car. Like, I should get hit for no reason. Like, I ain't doing it. My mother used to break wooden spoons off my ass. Oh. But, like, not in a malicious way. Looking back, like, you just did it. It was like, I'm sorry. Like, but now you can't even do that. And I'm like, and that wasn't even that bad. Like, your kids, don't abuse them. Mm-hmm. But you got to put a little bit of fear in them. And
kids
like,
need a law. We can't get to a place where there's no, you got to lay down the law. And the kids will, you know, you see kids and parents, if they're like, they let the kids run the show. It's like, no. I go straight old school Jersey gangster if I have to. It's like to a point where I'm bribing my daughter with cash, and then I'm holding a baseball bat. It's like two things.
Please, sweetheart.
I won't hit you with it, but go.
just to see. I always do that to my son. Who go, okay. I won't touch him. I won't lay a hand on him. I just go like that. And he sees my face. He's like, go. Don't. And he's like, he wants to walk by me, I'm going, don't do anything to me. And I just go like that, up the stairs. Yeah, I'll never do that.
No, I really appreciate coming to Hangman in the rain. It's been so cool to hang with you and make me feel like a kid pranking fancy restaurants.
I almost forgot we just did that. That was the best. I'm having a great time, so thank you for having me,
brother. Dude, thanks for being here. Make sure you check out Joe everywhere he is, guys. I want to make sure everyone follows you.
I am Joe Goddett on all the socials.
He's incredible on socials, incredible here. Thank you guys for listening, subscribing, watching. We'll be back next time.
It is me.
It's me.
I am here.